Good morning. Good morning. Hey, it's good to see everybody here this morning.
Good to be here.
Good to be anywhere at our age. Notice we got the stained glass windows back in, and they're looking mighty pretty. Not a whole lot in the way of announcements this morning. Two things, actually, because of the virus, we'll not be able to have the Thanksgiving service and dinner with the Presbyterian Church this year. Neither will we be doing the three church revival with Hanover and Painesville. So we are, however, able to celebrate Veterans Day, which is this Wednesday?
Tuesday,
right.
Yeah,
Wednesday. The 11th. Yeah, the 11th, right. 11th day, 11th hour, the 11th.
Yeah.
And so we want to recognize our veterans this morning. Do we have anybody from the Navy this year? This one, Mitch, preacher.
Jim is, but he's not here.
Jim is Navy?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. No Jim Sutton we're talking about.
Yeah.
Air Force, besides me? Marines. Bob? Who'd I miss? Army?
Fred.
Yeah, Fred back there.
He has two, but he just sat there.
Oh, well. Oh, Coast Guard. Coast Guard. Don't forget the boys on the river.
Yeah.
Well, let's give all these veterans a round of applause for what they've done. I don't know if I'm the oldest one or the oldest in terms of service or not. Fred, when were you in? When were you in service?
59 to 61.
Huh. We weren't in the same place at that time.
I actually got released in
65. Did you? Yeah, I was 59 to 62. Anybody have a birthday this morning? No birthdays. Anniversaries? Well, praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
We may have been worshiping in a strange way, but we are worshiping this morning. Let's continue with hymn number 7, Great is the Lord. Let's stand and sing. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord.
And page 67. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we thank you that we have the privilege to come together here this morning in your house. Lord, we do remember our veterans. We pray your blessing upon all those men and women still serving and all those who have borne injuries as a result of their service. Lord, we pray that you bless them, meet their needs. Lord, we also give you thanks and praise that we are called your children, your family,
yes,
a child of the King. Lord, thank you. You bless us so much, Lord, more than we even realize. And we appreciate so much all the things that you do. And we sometimes take those things for granted and we forget. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. And we ask your blessing that this service will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare for our communion time this morning, I'd like to turn to number 239, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. It'll be our communion hymn this morning. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take
I stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the
as our meditation this morning.
Good morning. There's been a lot going on the last few months, few days, few weeks. The to-do list during all this time seems to get neglected. Leaves us feeling guilty or sometimes distracted. But the demands of life, they don't go away when things get busier. We still have houses to clean, repair, work need done, cars to fix, bills to pay, emails to respond to, books to read, family to spend time with, friends to stay in touch with, parents and siblings to not neglect, and neighbors to reach out to. Then there's the daily and weekly news that discourages, confuses, or divides us. And the ads and promotions seeking to convince us why our lives are incomplete and could be made better. None of these by themselves are overwhelming, but together they run us dry and thin us out. Often our spiritual life, the thing meant to refresh us, ends up being a burden. I need to read my Bible more, pray more, and invest in others. When we don't do these as much as we'd like, they become a source of guilt rather than joy. And because life is so busy and our mind is on the next thing, even our time in the Word and prayer is distracted rather than resting on Christ. Every week, we have sins to fight, which wears us out, and areas where we fail piles on the guilt and sense of failure. Not to mention we have trials we're enduring, pain in our life or those we love, burdens we carry in areas of our life we're searching for wisdom. I'm sure you get weary during the week, maybe even weary right now. In one sense, this is normal. Jesus said, we will be weary. And in this world, we'll have troubles. Peter said, we'll have burdens and anxieties that we'll carry. But Peter also tells us to cast those burdens and anxieties on God because he cares for us and will carry them for us. Jesus assures us that though in this world we have troubles, our peace is found in him. Jesus invites us to come find rest by resting in him.
Amen.
In Matthew 11, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we come to the table of the Lord's Supper, we're coming to find rest at a slow down, sit down meal where we are served rather than serving. Though we approach food meals with a fast food mentality of getting and eating our food quickly so we can move on to the next thing, the Lord's Supper forces us to take a seat with others, pause and take notice of what's set before us. When we set our minds on Jesus and his broken body and spilled blood, our souls are restored by what we have in Christ. Though our sins are many, and though we might walk in here beat up and feeling like a failure, Jesus purchased through his death complete forgiveness and a full cleansing. Not only is every sin paid for, but the ground of our standing before God and knowing we are loved by God is based on Jesus alone, not how good or how bad we were this week. Despite our sin, in Jesus there's rest because we are forgiven and freed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us and all the blessings of life that we enjoy through you. We ask you to be with us this morning as we partake of the bread, which represents your broken body, and the juice, which represents the blood that you shed for our remission of sins. Be with us throughout the rest of this service and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered around the table for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, gave it to each of them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat of it, all of you." Likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, he blessed it, passed it among them, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again." Drink of it, all of you. Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please remain standing for one more song. The sermon this morning deals with basically be nice to the children. And this next song is one that we sing once in a while. Have more fun with it when the kids are here, but don't have that at the moment. So we'll have fun with it. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole wide world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands, he's got the wind and the rain in his hands, he's got the wind and the rain in his hands, he's got the whole world in his. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. Tiny little. master. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen. You may be seated, all but Wayne. Might as well bring your Bible with you, because the next thing will be the scripture. This is one that we've been wanting to do for a good while. Okay. And actually, it goes with the scripture for next week, but that's all right. We're going to do it anyway.
That's right.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved.
Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, how lost I would be. Without him, how lost I would be. Amen.
Thank you. The reading is 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come. Woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell.
Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I tell you, this morning not having Sunday school has kind of thrown me off. Slept a little more and got over here and I was kept thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? So it's different when our schedules get changed on us, isn't it? Oh, well, as we continue on here in our study of the New Testament and specifically here in Matthew chapter 18, there's two different things I want to deal with here. That the scripture itself is broken down into two different categories. And the first part of this is, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, I mean, automatically we all say Jesus. And that's true. But in this particular case, the disciples, after, you know, they've had all these experiences where they have seen all the miracles, they've got to perform miracles themselves, and there's so much that has been going on in their lives. And so, you know, they have had other discussions, you know, we've given up everything, so what will we get? You know, we left behind our families, we left behind our occupations, we left everything. And now they've finally got to the point where they're debating among themselves, well, which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus might sit on the right hand of God, but who's going to sit on the right hand of Jesus? I mean, you stop and think about that, and it's kind of a natural progression for us humans to go through those kind of things. Here they know that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And kings have, you know, their advisors and they have their noblemen and they have those who sit with them and visit with them. And so they're thinking, well, which one of us is going to do what? And Jesus, then he says, knowing their thoughts. He always knows our thoughts, right? Isn't that kind of scary at times when you're thinking things you shouldn't be thinking? But Jesus corrects them. Now, that first statement he makes there when he says that you have to become like a child. You know, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what in the world, you know, am I supposed to lay down and go goo goo da da and mama and all that? No. Am I supposed to throw temper tantrums? No, but I do that anyway. I'm not supposed to, but I do. We all do it. Sometimes, you know, things happen that we don't like. We all get a little upset about it. But what he's talking about here, he goes on to explain in the next verse. He says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, all of us, whether you have children or not, you've been around children. And children, we're not talking teenagers here, we're talking about little kids. The smaller, probably the more applicable here. They are dependent upon adults, totally. Infants especially, totally dependent on their mom and dad, totally dependent on others because they can't do anything for themselves. And I think that that is the most applicable position that he's talking about here for us to be in. When we realize that we can do nothing on our own, nothing, and do it right, then we are in a position where he can use us. When we are saying, Lord, What do you want me to do? Lord, you know what I need. Lord, you show me what I should be doing. Because I need you, Lord. I need you. I have to depend upon you. If I do it on my own, I will mess it up. And trust me, I know that for a fact. I've done that plenty of times. Stepped out ahead of God. Not waiting on him to tell me what I should do and just go ahead and do it. And it turned out wrong and messed a lot of things up. But isn't it hard sometimes for us to wait on God? I mean, I can remember as a child even, I'd ask, Mom, can I go visit so-and-so, go over to their house and stay a while? Ask your dad. Dad, can I go? I don't know, let me think about it. What? What's there to think about? The answer's yes or no, you know? And so, in the meantime, go clean your room. Or go split some wood and carry it in, you know? And I'm thinking the whole time, is this just a ploy to get me to do this? And then you're waiting and waiting and waiting for that answer. And sometimes my parents, if I ask too many times, they weren't happy about it. And they let me know they weren't happy about it. I'll let you know when I'm ready to tell you the answer. But eventually, they would tell you. But in the meantime, you just wait, because that's all you can do. And that's the way we're supposed to do with the Lord. He is our heavenly Father, and we ask his permission. Lord, can I go do this? Lord, can I go do that? Lord, should I go do this? Should I go do that? That may be a better question. And sometimes he answers right away, and sometimes he doesn't. And in the meantime, we're sitting there going, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? Well, the answer is you shouldn't until you get an answer from the Lord. And that's hard for us to do. At least it's hard for me. I'm assuming I'm not the only one that doesn't have a lot of patience. I mean, come on, we have microwaves. We don't want to wait for things. We don't want to wait for that answer from God. We want to do what we want. You know, sometimes you ask people about doing something, they say, well, I'm going to do something whether it's right or wrong. That's probably not a good way to live. And then there's this other thing that people say is, well, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. And that's wrong too, folks. Is it easy to ask forgiveness? Not really. Not when you really humble yourself before God and truly realize just how sinful sin is and how ugly that sin is to God. It's not easy to come to him and ask forgiveness for doing something when there was no reason for us to do it, if we had just waited for his answer. Become like a little child. In dependency upon God. That's where he wants us. But you know, that really shouldn't be that hard for us, because when we truly look at who we are compared to him, what we have capabilities to do compared to him, it shouldn't be that hard to become totally dependent upon him. When we realize he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about us. He knows every thought we have. He knew every thought we were going to have thousands of years ago. Now that's just a mind blower, isn't it? How can anybody do that? Well, anybody can't, but God can. That's why we can depend upon him. You know, there was a story that I'm sure all of you have heard before at some point in time, but there's several of these stories of aircraft pilots who, when flying through major storms and really turbulent weather, especially when it's real cloudy, foggy, and sometimes even a plane will get struck by lightning and knock their instrumentation out. It usually is temporary, but it does happen from time to time. And the pilot is blind. They can't see where they are. If their instrumentation's out, they have no way of knowing if they're on course, if they're off course. They don't know that. So they're totally dependent on that radio and the person in the tower on the other end of that radio. That person tells them, you know, turn this way, turn that way, raise up, lower, whatever the case might be. There's even been planes that, under those circumstances, the person in the tower guided them all the way to a landing, including telling them when to put down their landing gear and all that stuff. You talk about dependent. Can you imagine the sweat you would have? Going blind, you can't see where you're going. Now, there may come a point when they get close enough to the runway, they can see the lights, and at that point, they're better off. But still, and folks, really, that's the way we should live at all times. Because what we see in this life, we don't always interpret correctly. How many times have you heard a part of a conversation and misinterpreted it? How many times have you seen part of an event and misinterpreted it? We don't always correctly interpret what we see. So we can't really be totally dependent upon our own eyes and our own hearing and our own brain, for that matter. We have to learn to put it in the hands of God. We have to learn to trust that He will tell us exactly where to turn, whether go up or down or go to the left or the right or whatever the case might be. Amen. That's where we learn to be like a child, to be totally dependent on Him. He went on there to say in verse 5, "And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Now, does he mean just a little child? No, he doesn't. I think that's probably the primary meaning is that he's talking about little children. Yes, we are to look out for the little children. We are to raise them up in the wisdom and knowledge of God and in the Spirit of God so that they can be the next leaders in our churches and in the nation, for that matter. But he also means we are to welcome one another when we have come to a point of submitting to Christ. I can't tell you how many times I remember as a teenager going to church and someone would go forward and give their life to Christ, and before they were back to their seat, me and somebody else would be saying, "Yeah, really, I don't believe that." He'll be back to smoking pot Monday. He'll be back to, you know, this or that. That's the wrong way to think, folks. That's the wrong way to do things. And Mark back there can tell you, when he read I was a preacher, he about had a stroke. Because he knew me when I was growing up. Yeah, Rocky did too. And Jim. They even have pictures to prove it. I don't know if any of you saw it, but somebody posted a picture on Facebook of me. Her name used to be Kevin McCain. She's got a different last name now, but I went to school with her brother, Carrie. And she posted a picture of four of us when we were, I guess, on our New Orleans band trip somewhere along the way. Steve Heil, Scotty McDaniels, myself, and Carrie McCain. We were all standing together. And I looked at that and I thought, man, I don't remember ever being that little. Kind of a strange picture. I was looking at it, yeah, that's me. But You know, there's so much that we have to learn. But the only way we're going to learn it is to dig for it and to wait for the answers. Now, the second part of this goes on to talking about causing one of these little ones to stumble. Now, that's where Bob was talking about this morning, be good to the little ones. And that's true. But it's more than just little children, but it's especially about the little children because they are so innocent and they are so dependent upon us. I know of a guy who would intentionally tell his grandchildren wrong things to watch them try to figure it out. And finally, they got to the point to where they'd said, "Papa, I don't believe anything you say." He said, "Good, now you're catching on." You know, and I can remember there was a comedian one time. Can't think of his name. The guy that used to get happy feet. Anybody remember? Steve Martin. Yeah. Yeah. He had been a school teacher, folks, before he got into comedy and movies. And I remember he had a comedy tape out, and he used to talk about how children are so gullible. If you catch them young enough, you can teach them anything. He said, "Can you imagine on the first day of school, kindergarten, your kid goes up to the teacher asking permission to go to the restroom, but what they actually say is, 'May I go mumble jumble in a banana patch?'" Because that's what he taught them. So we need to teach our kids the truth, right? So they don't sound so ridiculous and look so ridiculous when they go. But we have to instill it in them. We can't just tell them once. And we can't just tell them. We have to show them by the way we live. We have to be an example for them. You know, I know I say this a lot, but it still makes the point. It does little good for a parent with a cigarette in their mouth to tell your children never smoke. A parent with a beer in their hand say never drink. You know, those things just don't work. What kids see is what they remember more than what they hear. And so we have to be careful. Kids are taught wrong things every day by watching news, by watching television. Even cartoons is used to get our kids to think that there are gods and goddesses in the world, often recognized as superheroes. There are lots of things that teach our children about magic on the TV. Oh, magic's a good thing, right? Wrong. It's evil. It's of the devil. We have to make sure that they know the truth so that when they see and hear those things, they know the difference between what's right, what's wrong, what's true, and what's false. That's just being a good parent. That's being a godly parent. But it doesn't just apply to little children. It also applies to those of us who are adults that are dependent upon God. The Bible says that for those of us that are teachers, we have a greater responsibility. Why? Because many adults, just like children, are dependent upon their teacher in a spiritual way to teach them what is right, not a lie. So that they don't stand before Jesus on judgment day and say, "May I go mumbo jumbo in a banana patch?" We all have responsibility. Every single one of us. God give us a ministry of some kind. He's given us all a way to serve him that no one else can do what we do the way we do it. Other people may do the same ministry, but they won't do it exactly the same way we do it, because we're all a little different. How many of you people have thumbprints the same as mine? None of you? Well, what if I copied yours? But, you know, when you stop and think about the unique differences that just our bodies show, that should indicate to us how different we are spiritually as well. That's one of the reasons why we find it hard sometimes to agree on some things, is because we're all different. And we see things from a different perspective. And we have to learn that God orchestrated all of the ministries that he has put within all of us so that they don't contradict with each other, but they complement each other. Just like a harmony in a big band or an orchestra. If someone's playing off key, it throws the whole thing off. So when we all work in harmony, when we all work together, when we all use the gifts that God give us, it's a beautiful thing. And it draws the little children in, by the way, when we do that. It draws the big children in. It draws everybody. When God's work is truly being done, when his power and his authority is being displayed, people are drawn to that. Some don't agree with it, but they're still drawn to it. So, how can we make sure that we are living like little children? Well, we need to do some evaluation in our lives, don't we? We need to really determine, am I truly totally dependent on Christ like a child is dependent upon its parent? Have I really given myself that much to Jesus? If he were the man in the tower for the plane, for the pilot, and I was the pilot, and he gave me an instruction to turn right, would I do it? Or would I say, I don't think so. I don't trust you. That's not the right way to go. I don't believe that. Well, maybe if you don't, you're going to crash into a mountain. Whereas the man in the tower, because he has his instrumentation, can tell that, but we're flying blind. What right do we have to trust our own thoughts? You know, there's a big difference between guessing that something's right and listening to the one who knows what is right. Many people today are trusting their feelings. Well, I feel like it's okay to do this. I feel like it's okay to... God doesn't care what you feel like. I mean, just honestly, that's the truth. When it comes down to right and wrong, God doesn't care what we think or what we feel. What he cares about is whether or not we obey what he says. You know, I can remember Bob asked who was in the military. I was in the Navy, and I can remember that my company commander didn't care what I thought. He said, do push-ups, you did them. You know, he said, run laps, you ran laps. He said, scrub the floor, you scrubbed the floor. Because if you didn't, well, later you wished you had. They took your money, they took your privileges, and sometimes they even hurt you physically. There was ways they could make you do so many push-ups that you couldn't move anymore the next day. Anybody else experience that besides me, or was I the only rebellious one? God wants us to listen to him because he is the authority. He is the one who knows what's best for us. So let's make it our goal to listen, trust, and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Go ahead. But to trust and obey. Amen.
You through?
Yeah.
All right. Our invitation this morning is number 361, Only Trust Him. Let's stand and sing. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Its blessings to bestow, plunged now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.